Jabril Clark, 71097.
Okay, so you're appointing for the liaison board of executive clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are conducting your hearing this morning, this afternoon. You have the Honorable David Neal in the middle. You have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. My name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel lead today. So also with us, representing the Department of Correction as well as the parole office, is Mr. Westby, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Clark, prior to your hearing today, you signed and received a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. You recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
On that form, you was notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney at your own expense, or are you representing yourself today?
Representing myself, sir.
All right, at this time, I'd like to advise you and swear you and Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
So your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will determine whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, sir, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision. I'm going to start out on phase one, sir. You have three allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read the allegations to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
The first allegation on your warrant states that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of marijuana and THC on or about May 14, 2018, per the Task Lab report dated May 15, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
True, sir.
The next allegation on your warrant states that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12C, as demonstrated by your failure to successfully complete the viewway RCMB program as directed on or about May 9, 2018. So is that true or false?
It's true, sir.
In the last allegation states you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12D, as it demonstrated by your failure to report to your assigned parole officer within 1 working day after you discharged from viewway on or about May 30, 2018. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he's absconded from supervision. So is that true or false?
That's partially true.
Okay, well, it's either, you know, for the purpose of this answer, it's either true or false.
True, sir.
All right. You'll also get an opportunity, sir, to explain this when we go on to phase two, okay?
Yes, sir.
Based on the admission of Mr. Clark, I'm moved to find that he was delinquent, that he had violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second. Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, second by Dr. Ryan. Agreed. Mr. Neal. Let me do some paperwork real quick, sir, again. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two again. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two and first give us additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby. Then we're going to come back to you and go over some information. Mr. Clark, I'll give you the opportunity to present or explain any information you'd like to explain to the board, okay?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Westby.
On January 24, 2018, Mr. Clark was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested July 16, 2018 by Phoenix PD and investigated the theft at his employer. Their charges have been filed for an investigation. He was back in UCA custody on July 16, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of October 10, 2018, 47 days. Current conviction, 2016, for a violation of 2.5 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term at UC. CUIR score on the report, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang affiliation noted, prior term by supervision. After his return to the UC on August 11, 2018, he received a ticket for disobeying written orders. arrests, previous residency, and January 2018, theft, and was unknown, and the wrong result in charges that are dismissed and filed. He's coming to risk for his juvenile B2. I do assess the charges for senior officer by the 14th, August 20th, 2018. That states I hear that IXPD has not filed charges yet as of this time. They are still pending.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Clark, I see that when you were released on January 24th, you were released with an approved placement. You were directed to and agreed to go reside at 1031 North 40th Street, apartment number 201, with your mother, Camille Dean. Is that right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Then it looks like on May 9th, you were referred to the RCBM program at Greenway. On 5/29, you were discharged from multiple room and curfew violations to include possession of what appeared to be methamphetamine, which was found in your personal area when you were discovered missing from the property. You were unsuccessfully discharged from the Greenway program. Is that right, sir?
Partially, yes, sir.
Well, what happened?
I did have a couple of curfew violations, but that was due to problems I had. My mom is real sick right now.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the possession of the methamphetamine goes, that was found inside the closet, and I shared that with the other person that was living in the room with me. He admitted to it being his, and he did test positive for methamphetamine. I tested clean.
Okay. So, sir, it says also on here that you reported employment with RGG United Contracting.
Yes, sir. I was working. We were building. I did the concrete for the new South Mountain Freeway that they're building, to a new freeway.
So you were working for them when you were arrested, or what happened?
No, sir, because I had to enroll in the halfway house RCBM program, I was forced to stop working for about a month. And at the time of me getting arrested this time, I was working at a car dealership as a car salesman.
Okay.
So I did maintain employment. You know, me getting a job is not a problem. I know how to work and stay busy.
Okay, so it looks like that you were assigned to a task for the UAs, and you were assigned to the color pink. Says while assigned to the color mint, you were responsible for 8 testable samples. You provided 3 samples, was tested negative, then you failed to provide 2 testable samples on March 23rd and May 26th, and then it says you provided 1 sample on May 9th, was tested positive for methamphetamine. Sample was tested positive for THC by 14, and 1 sample which was diluted and unsuitable for testing on March 28, 2018. Says that on May 9th, you were referred to ICBM program at Greenway. On May 29th, you were discharged from a remarkable rule and curfew violations that include possession of what appeared to methamphetamine, which was found in your personal area when you were discovered missing from the property. You were unsuccessfully discharged from the Greenway RCBM program. So, sir, it looks like you were testing negative, and then all of a sudden you started to test positive, but none of the tests was positive for methamphetamine. So what did you do? Did you just relapse or how's that?
No, sir, absolutely not. I've never had a problem with methamphetamine. As of going to test for a task, I never tested positive for methamphetamines. I did test positive for the marijuana, which I did admit before going to take my UA to my parole officer, Officer Crumpleman, that I did use marijuana 3 times after my release from prison. The test positive for the methamphetamine, that was from the UA sample that was submitted at the RCBM program that they use in their cups there. It wasn't from one test.
Okay.
It was not from, and I tested positive one time, but I did not use methamphetamines. I only smoked. I had smoked weed three times. And I explained that to them, and Officer Compliment.
Okay, I'm looking at the discharge from Blueberry, and it says that you tested positive for meth and THC marijuana on May 9th, and on May 11th, it says actually you tested two times positive for meth. According to Blueberry report, you tested two times that you were positive for meth and marijuana, May 9th and May 11th, then you were positive Blueberry for marijuana on May 13th, May 17th, May 24th, and May 28th, so that's four times that you tested positive for marijuana, sir. How did you have those two UAs that tested positive for meth if you didn't do meth, sir? Did you smoke it with the motor unit or something?
I made a mistake, you know, I messed up, and I admitted to that, I manned up to that, and I did, like I said, I did smoke the marijuana, and I believe that it could have possibly been inside of it, you know, but I didn't intentionally smoke methamphetamines. That's not my thing. I don't do that. You know, I made a mistake. I did smoke marijuana. I shouldn't have done that, and I take full responsibility for that. And I actually came clean forward to my parole officer, Officer Compliment, and I did admit to him that I did smoke marijuana about three times after me getting released from DOC. As far as me testing positive for marijuana about four times at the RCBM program, it takes a little bit of time for it to get out of your system. So that's why I kept coming out dirty for those four times. Not because I was continuing to use, but because it takes a little bit longer for marijuana to get out of your system. And Officer Crumpleman actually sent me back to task for a random UA, and he saw that my levels in THC did drop, so it did prove to him that I wasn't using anymore.
Okay, so why did you walk off site those times without permission, sir, and then return later?
The night of my discharge, my girlfriend, she's pregnant right now, she was pregnant at the time. She was in the hospital. I was in the hospital. I was with at the hospital with her all night. When I returned back to the RCBM program, that's when they were beginning a search of the room and discovered the methamphetamines. But I did explain to them that I was at the hospital that whole night. They told me to go get the paperwork, the discharge paperwork from my girlfriend, you know, proving that we were both at the hospital that night. And
did you ever provide that paperwork?
Yes, I did, but they still discharged me. Like I said, the methamphetamine that was found inside the room, my roommate that was living inside the room, Brian Matthews, he admitted to the methamphetamine being his, and he tested positive for methamphetamines. I submitted a UA and I tested clean.
Okay. So there was a few times that you walked out the site. What happened the other time? One time you was with your girlfriend who was pregnant at the hospital. What about the other time?
I was having a few issues with my mom. She was on the verge of losing her place. And I was just doing the best that I could to try and help her out. You know, it was a lot on me at the time. You know, I'm young, and my mom is pretty much all that I got, and just trying to help her out. I was late for curfew a few times.
Okay. Alright, so I'm going to look at some of the sanctions. Said that you were doused by a senior parole officer due to your second mistake. You reported went on that March 27th, but it was too late to submit a second sample after you did not produce enough the first time. You then were advised that the next missed positive UA will result in the property that sanctions been applied, which happened on May 9th. The case was staffed, and then you admitted to using marijuana as recently as May 2nd and stated that you had used it approximately 3 times since your release. You provided documentation for undisclosed police report contact on May 2nd that you were cited for a failing to control speed of vehicle and rear-ended a parked traffic trailer in a residential area at 5:09 in the morning. You stated that you dozed off. You referred to the video program and directed to report there at 1800. So it looks like the whoever was working with you, but what was the problem? Why did you mind have been her scunder for 47 days?
I did have police contact. I was working, like I said, I was working the construction. I was working the South Mountain Freeway. I was working like 15-hour shifts at the time, you know, just trying to stay busy and, you know, stay out of trouble. I was on my way to work one morning, and I wasn't under the influence of no type of drugs at all. Honestly, God, I dozed off and hit a parked semi truck that was parked on the side of the road, and I did get cited for failure to control speed to avoid a collision because I rear-ended that parked vehicle. Officer Kumpelman, he did work with me, you know. He had told me that if I were to get discharged from the RCBM program, that I would go back to prison. Once I got discharged, I didn't report to the office, but I did call him. He didn't answer, and I sent him a text message explaining to him what happened and that those drugs were not mine. And, you know, what I had to do to stay out of prison, he never contacted me back. I just got scared, honestly, and I didn't want to come back to prison.
So what were you doing during those 47 days that you were out, sir?
I was working.
How did you ride up in contact with the PO, with the police at Phoenix PD?
July 16th, where I reported to work, I was working at Empower Motors. I was a car salesman there. I was good at my job, you know. I sold a lot of cars. I was accused of stealing money, which wasn't true. That's why Phoenix Police hasn't filed any charges. You know, I have no charges filed against me because it was all a mistake. They know who really committed that crime, and they know that it wasn't not me. I don't steal. Like I said, I got scared. That's why I didn't report to the parole office. I didn't want to be back in prison.
Where were you staying at?
I was still staying with my mother.
All right, so I'm sure the board has any additional questions for you. So your questions coming from the board, sir. We're coming up on the conclusion of the hearing. As we come up on the conclusion of the hearing, sir, we're going to go into discussion and make a determination whether we revoke or reinstate your community supervision. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to going into discussion?
Yes, sir. I just want to apologize again and say thank you for taking the time to meet with me this afternoon. And once again, I apologize. I did make a few mistakes, and, you know, I take full responsibility for that.
Okay. All right, so the board's... Okay, I'm sorry. Were you saying something else, sir? I'm sorry.
No, sir.
All right. So the board's going to go into discussion. While the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the line while the board's in discussion. However, I need you to remain silent while the board's in discussion. We will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision and get back with you, okay?
Yes, sir.
The board's now able to discuss, and it looks like Mr. Clark was doing well while he was out the first time. He doesn't have a long history. He was incarcerated for marijuana. He doesn't have any priors. It looks like the only arrest that he had, the charges were not dismissed, was in 2018, which was for a theft. And then while he's been incarcerated on August 11th, he did get a write-up for disobeying a verbal order. The contact he had with Phoenix PD on July 16th, as of this day, no charges have been filed. Reference that incident that he was actually involved in. This is his first time actually been out. He said that he was having some issues with his mom and He walked off of B-Ray as well as he was having some issues with his pregnant girlfriend, in which he was trying to assist his girlfriend, which is one of the reasons why he had left B-Ray and violated the privacy violation. He's trying to assist his mom. He'll be released on October 10th of 2018, which is just about 3 months, a little less than 3 months from now. I think it's going to be best for Mr. Clark to just go ahead and complete his time, and when he gets out, he won't have any parole or community supervision. He can get him a job and work and continue to work and go to his mom or his girlfriend and be with his girlfriend and not have to be concerned with the violations of the parole or going into any of these programs at halfway houses. I do think that Mr. Clark probably will be more successful once he's completed his parole. That's my opinion. I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues.
Agree.
Okay, therefore, I am going to make a motion to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Clark, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapses about the lapse into criminal ways or become part.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, motion by myself, second by Mr. Neal, agree, Dr. Rogers. Mr. Clark?
Yes, sir.
So the board of voters will vote to community supervision. So you are still a very, very young man. Looks like you haven't been in much trouble. Hopefully you don't get any more trouble. You just had a marijuana violation. It looked like in 2018 you had a theft, as well as this ticket you received since you've been incarcerated. So I think that you will be released on October 10th. Of 2018, which is a little less than 3 months from now. If you would just take this time that you have and then work with your CO3, so see if there's any programming that you can get involved in, especially like AA or NA, that you can do just to help yourself. So when you get out, sir, hopefully you won't have any more negative contact with law enforcement and you'll be a productive citizen. So if you said that you don't have a hard time finding a job that you feel work with, looks like you had two jobs. You can get out of work, start working, productive citizen, and try to avoid getting any trouble in the use of the drugs that are getting you in trouble, which is the reason why you have been incarcerated, sir. Mr. Clark, thank you for taking the time and opportunity for participating in your hearing this afternoon. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. If you could put the CO3 on the phone, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.